Today, we want to look at the Lord's Prayer concerning the name of the Father. I want to repeat a few verses out of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. And we have to remind ourselves, I want to remind you, that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are recorded as the Sermon on the Mount. And it was in that sermon Jesus taught us to pray. When you pray, he doesn't say if you pray. Jesus takes it totally for granted that we will pray. As believers, we will pray. Amen? When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Let's keep that in mind when we pray, that the Father knows what we need before we utter a word. Pray then like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In Psalm 9, verse 10, we read, those who know thy name put their trust in thee. Someone writes, the better we know the name of God, the more we will trust him. And the more we trust him, the more risks we will take for the sake of his glory. And the more risks we are willing to take for the sake of his glory, the bolder we will be in our witness, the less dependent we will be on material comforts, and the more readily we will volunteer for active duty on the frontiers of God's kingdom. That is beautiful. See, when we call to the Father, like we heard last time, Abba, Father, we do not disrespect him with that. We are not careless in our approach to God when we pray. How do we approach him? We have to pray to the Father in spirit and in truth. We can't go to a certain place and know that in this certain place, that's where our God is, and that's where we have to approach, and we have to have our process of approaching God. No, we do that daily, or sometimes day and night, and call to his name, Abba, Father, but not carelessly. Because the throne of God and he himself is holy. Holy simply means that he is far above anything common on earth or common to us. He is divine. He is uncommon to us. We are the common ones. But here's God's wonderful plan. He wants to teach us to pray that we as commoners, if you will, become royalty. That we become like Jesus. Because he said he and the Father are one. When we pray to the Father, we also address Jesus. When we address Jesus, we also pray to the Father. This is why when people misuse the name of God or the name of Jesus, I cringe when they misuse the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He is in the Father, and the Father is in him. When we pray to him, we pray to the Father. He is not a byword or a cuss word, as some people think that they can get away with. So we say, hallowed be, because God is our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That means we acknowledge that God is. And guess what? He always has been. He is now, and he always will be. For all eternity. He will always be the same. Now, hallowed be thy name, your name, O Lord. What is his name? This is the question Moses had in the Old Testament. When God called him out of the burning bush to send him to Israel to free them from the Egyptian slavery, Moses asked God, "What shall I say to the people if they ask me who has sent you and what is his name?" Remember that? Moses asked God, "What shall I say if Israel asks me what is his name?" And here's God's answer. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Our Father, which art in heaven, we connect our prayer to the answer Moses received from God himself. I am. We are praying to the great I am. That's his name. I am for all eternity. I am for all generations. I am the God that doesn't change. I am good. I am perfect. I am holy. I am righteous. I am merciful forever and ever. So the most fundamental thing that can be said about God is that he is. I am who I am. And God doesn't change. He doesn't have to change. We need to change. We need to be transformed into the image of Christ. And this is our challenge, and this is our walk with God, to become more like Christ in this life. But God doesn't change. I am is his name. Again, God said to Moses, "I will proclaim before you my name. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." So the heart of God's name is the reality, as someone said, of sovereign freedom. The utmost freedom that there can be, the most wholesome freedom, is in the name of God. Again, God said to Moses, "I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty." And the Hebrew word Yahweh is used there. God Almighty. That's his name. Hallowed be your name. God is. You cannot change that. Atheists cannot change that. A million witches cannot change that. God is. That's his name. When God came down a second time to Mount Sinai, Moses had a great experience there. Boy, I often wish that I could have been right there with Moses, experiencing all that. Then it says, he declared his name. He said, the Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh. Our God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, an abounding and steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's connected to his name. The Lord called out his name to Moses. He wanted to give Moses a glimpse of who he is, because you cannot separate God's name from who he is, because his name is I am. His name is He is. So we learn that the existence of God, the freedom and the omnipotence of God, that He's almighty, He is free, and He does exist because everything else exists because of Him. That caused John in the book of Revelation. You see, I talked about Moses. Now I'm going all the way forward to the book of Revelation, where he says in Revelation 21, verse 6, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Connected to his name is this great I am. And no matter what you do, no matter how you deny him or how you confess him or what your view is about God, he is. And that's his name. You say, well, that cannot be. He has all kinds of names. Yeah, you can study up on the meanings of his name. Yeah, his name is Jehovah. His name is Yahweh. His name is Elohim and all that. But this is the basis of who God is. He introduces himself through the fact that I am. The Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Isaiah said this, the Lord introduced him. He said, I am the high and lofty one whose name is holy. Connected to that, we want to take this prayer now. Hallowed be thy name. The Lord is the high and lofty one. His name is holy. So God inhabits a place infinitely above our ordinary world. He is actually out of this world. This world cannot contain him. He needs a lot more than this world. But he is involved in his creation. He declared on Mount Sinai again, you shall worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous. Aha. We have a negative tone here about his name. He is a jealous God. Connected with his name, God desires to be honored, that his name is honored and worshiped, and only his name, not other gods, not other things, not other ideas or philosophies, but his name stands there and all time, in all times, as unique and holy in singular form. And he's jealous if any other god is worshipped, because all the other gods are nothing compared to him. Nothing is even close to resembling God. Even though Satan may trick people into believing all kinds of lies, but it's not true, because God is. And he is the supreme being, and he alone deserves our worship. He made that very clear to Israel. So God exists from all eternity. He is free, he is omnipotent, he is merciful. He is the beginning and the end of every person that will ever live. He is holy, he is a jealous God, and he wants our undivided worship affection and devotion. That is his name. Now, asking God to do what he already wants to do, we know that this is his will. You would say, well, isn't it superfluous to ask him that his name be hallowed? No. Jesus wants our hearts, our service to God, our discipleship, our following Christ. He wants all of that to be connected to the honor and to the holiness of the name of God. So this is a petition. This is a request. It's not a declaration. We don't just declare, God, we know your name is holy. No, we ask God that his name be hallowed in our lives, in our hearts. We ask God that he helps us to sanctify his name in our hearts, that he is honored through our attitudes, through the depths of our thoughts. And loved ones, there's so much I could say about this. In fact, I could preach on this for 3 hours. But I want to carve out a few thoughts here. What is this request teaching us? One of them is that prayer does not move God to do things he is inclined or disinclined to do. In other words, he will not answer prayers that go against his intentions or that wouldn't be in his will. We will see that later too. We realize also through this prayer, hallowed be thy name. This is actually the first request that we make in the Lord's Prayer. We yield and we commit and submit to God's priority list in our prayer. His priority is that he needs to be glorified. His name needs to be lifted up high. That's God's priority. And that needs to be our priority in our prayer, in our devotion life. Prayer is God's way of bringing our priorities also in line with his. He wants us to line up with his will. Oftentimes we would like him to change his mind and to do what we want to do. We symbolically give him a list of things and say, Lord, would you put your signature on there or your stamp of approval? And God said, no, I have a better list. I have my priority list. Start with hallowing my name. So it's not your and my requests that are most important. It's to hallow his name. Hallow, not hollow. Hallow his name. What does it mean to hallow his name? What does hallow mean? Actually, in the German translation, dein Name werde geheiligt means your name be sanctified. Does his name need to be sanctified? In our hearts, yes. It is already holy. We have seen that. He is who he is. We cannot change that. But you see, the sun is shining everywhere. But if we close our windows and our doors and don't let the sun shine in, it doesn't change the sun. It doesn't change the fact that the sun is shining. It changes the fact how it affects us, how we allow the light to come into our own home and hearts. And so the name of God needs to be treated by us as holy. That needs to be established. Sanctify can mean to make holy or treat as holy, as set apart above and beside everything else. When we sanctify God, his name, it means that we treat him as holy and we treat him reverently. Our question then becomes, what does it mean to treat God as holy? And I have a few scriptures to look at that speak about treating God as holy. And I'm sure that the fear of God can really have a positive, a wisdom-giving effect when we treat his name holy. Because the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. God said to Moses, because you did not believe in me to sanctify me. This is in Numbers 20, verse 12. You didn't hallow me. You didn't hallow my name. You didn't sanctify me in the eyes of the people of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given him. Moses had done something wrong. He would say, man, you know, he did so many things right. He was so frustrated. And finally, God had told him to speak to this rock that water would come. And he was so frustrated, he just hit it. And that was dishonoring to God. And God was holy. He said, there's consequences for that. You did not honor me. You did not sanctify me. In other words, it doesn't matter, Moses, how you felt and how frustrated you were. You messed up. You were disobedient to me. Being obedient to God is sanctifying his name, and that means whether we feel like it or not, we need to do it. And we should never hesitate to obey God, because that is sanctifying to his name. John said this, he who does not believe God, in other words, he who does not obey God, he made him a liar. Making God look like a liar is a very serious thing. So his name needs to be hallowed by affirming in our lives and in our obedience to him, yes, Lord, you are right. It doesn't matter how I feel, you are right, and I want to obey you. Isaiah 8, verse 12 and 13 says, do not call conspiracy all that this people call conspiracy. You can read this at home. These are interesting scriptures. Isaiah 8, verse 12. And do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. He said this to the prophet. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall regard as holy, and hallow is here indicated, is indicated here. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. Be very careful how you treat the name of God. Be very careful how you live and what you do and how you lead your lives, because it will demonstrate how you revere God's name. That was the warning. You hallow him by not fearing what men fear, but by fearing God. So the fear of man can oftentimes cause us to do things that are not hallowing the name of God. So we should never fear losing out on life when it goes for the name of God. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 31. So you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord, and you shall not profane my holy name. But I will be hallowed among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. In other words, he told Israel, you are completely dependent on me. You would be nothing without me. And you need to recognize and realize this. And you need to live in this acknowledgement, in this sense of knowing that without God, I am absolutely nothing. And honor his name. Do not profane my holy name, he said. So we hallow the name of God when we keep his commandments. So what we pray here is, Father, let your name be hallowed. We mean, Father, cause your commandments to be obeyed in my life. And Jesus gave us the commandments, right? Following Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament law. Moses said to Aaron in Leviticus 10, verse 3, this is what the Lord has said. I will show myself holy among those who are near me, and before all people I will be glorified. God will watch over his name. He will watch over his holiness. It's all dependent on us, how it affects our lives, and how we allow him to be in our daily lives, that we sanctify his name. And so what we're asking God here is, Lord, help me to bring glory to your name. Cause your name to be hallowed, to be sanctified in my life. And this is why we as God's people, we long to see the name of God venerated to all nations. The Lord's Prayer is a global prayer. The Lord's name shall be exalted in all nations, among all tongues and people. The great I am should be known and is revealed through Jesus Christ and whoever comes to the cross. And I pray this morning that God would let his word go forth. It doesn't matter what church, where the gospel is preached, where the cross of Christ is preached, that it would go forth and his name would be exalted and he would be glorified. And that is my desire for us here, for myself. May the Lord bless us. Amen.